We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, I was just looking at something here. I have all these computers in front of me, and I just decided I'm kind of mad about something, Sue. You know
what's that?
You know what we haven't done in a while? This.
It's time for Insect News.
Yeah.
I know that. We need a story, don't you think?
Yeah, well, we've got Cicada Geddon.
Okay,
coming.
Well, let's use that for that. Okay,
yeah,
good.
But I had Wiggins make that when there was some big story about something. And you're right, I've underused it,
I feel bad about it. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
Can I just play it again?
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, I screwed up and I had the volume down, so I'd have to wait. Can I just do that again?
Of course.
It's time for Insect News.
It's not really time for that, but I like that sounder quite a bit. So there's a lot of things. I think the audience is aware and the room is aware. A lot of things that annoy me, right?
Yes.
But I get annoyed. So I get this this Odyssey email because I don't even think it's because I work here. You know, you can sign up for the email notifications from the company. You're looking at me like I'm making this
up. I'm trying to think if I got one and what it is.
Well, so I got the thing. And again, I don't think it's because I'm an employee, but it's the, let's see. Maybe it is. It says 97.1 FM Talk. That's this station.
That's what I've heard.
Okay. And then they send this email out. It says even at the top, this message is from a mailing list. So some people might get this, like listeners. But here's why I'm upset. There's a story in here I was not really familiar with, and it's interesting. The headline is "Student suspended for using the term illegal alien in vocabulary quiz." And I don't know if it's exactly vocabulary quiz, but I got curious about this.
Well, yeah.
So the story is from North Carolina. There is a report in the Carolina Journal that Christian McGee was suspended from this high school in Lexington, North Carolina, for 3 days last week after he allegedly said illegal alien during an English class assignment. Apparently, he said, you know, when he was instructed to use the word alien, he said, well, is that illegal alien or is it like Green Man alien or something like that? Like space, the quote was this, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. So.
And they suspended him for saying that?
Okay. There's always nuance.
I was going to say there would have to be some.
Although
here.
I haven't discovered a ton, but here's the nuance: somebody in the class took offense to that.
Oh,
right?
There it is.
They were triggered,
there
and then
is.
They wanted to fight. So I don't know exactly. The one thing that's missing from the story is nobody says. It'd be one thing if this kid was suspended and then the other kid was suspended too for fighting, not just for that. But if you page down to the story, the Carolina Journal said it had obtained an email describing the incident that was sent to local officials, and they basically say a young man in class took offense and wanted to fight. But here's what the email said, because this kind of circles back to why, you know, maybe he was suspended for that. Ultimately, his words were deemed by administrative staff to be offensive and disrespectful to classmates who are Hispanic. I mean, if that kid was really suspended because of that, gosh, I hope lawyers are involved at this point. That's just utterly ridiculous that you're pulling kids who have been, I mean, that's a high school kid that was in junior high during the pandemic, right, and probably suffers from learning loss. But don't worry about that. We want to make sure that we punish him for the improper use of language and using the term illegal alien, which is kind of funny because if you go back in the news coverage, probably even just 20 years, maybe less than that.
Oh, it would take less.
Common.
Yeah.
Like, nobody said anything differently. But now we have, what are we supposed to say now? Migrants?
Yeah, what is the answer? Do you know, Fred?
New arrivals?
I don't know.
New arrivals. I kind of just want to do this. But I can't do that because we have to. Sorry, that was just fun for me. I'm trying to have fun. Let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News, sponsored by Mr. Appliance, speedy expert service, MrAppliance.com.
Well, good news. It's National School Bus Driver Appreciation Day. Huh? And National Cherry Cheesecake Day. And they had a picture in there, and boy, did that look good.
I want to appreciate the school bus drivers because everywhere I drive, I see signs. They need more. They need people.
Yeah, they do need
and,
more.
You know, my daughter has talked about the driver that she has, and, you know, you develop relationships with those bus drivers. But I hope people would. I've thought about this. You know, what am I going to do in retirement, team?
Maybe you do not have the patience to drive a school bus. Have you lost your mind?
No, there's no way.
There
I'd,
is
be, I'd be suspended
chance.
The first day.
Yes.
I'd yell at some kid for doing something, right? They'd yank me out of there.
Yeah,
but
they
I
would.
Do encourage other people who are much more friendly to do it. Fred would be a good school bus driver.
Fred, you'd be the best.
I
they
think
would
you'd
love
be awesome.
You.
Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd be too busy letting everyone go in front of me on the road so the kids would get to school late all the
yeah,
time.
That's
so
true.
Go ahead. You.
Oh, the
yeah,
kids
that's
would
true.
Love you.
Kids would love me. Yeah.
Their
favorites. Oh, the kids would love you, Fred.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
my
know,
gosh.
My grandma used to drive school buses.
Did she?
And when she was interviewed, she tells this story all the time. They asked her if she knew how to drive stick shift.
Yeah.
And so they gave her the only stick shift bus because she could.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, good for her.
Grandmother, that is awesome. 39 years ago on this day in history in 1985, Coca-Cola announced it was changing the secret flavor formula for Coke and introduced New Coke. People hated New Coke, so the company quickly pivoted and reintroduced Coca-Cola Classic. And then as soon as enough years went by, they just kind of dropped the Classic and it's back to Coke. Like it never happened. You remember New Coke, Fred?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't very good.
Oh, they teach that in marketing classes to this day, right?
Oh, I bet they do.
When they're grooming the pro-terrorists on college campuses, they talk about that particular story.
I think they were trying to be more Pepsi-like at the time.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was all those commercials where it was the blind taste test, and Pepsi must have been winning. And so they went back.
Well, because even Diet Pepsi, I've said this before, it's a little sweeter.
It is.
I prefer Diet Coke because it's a little sweeter, but
well,
it's different taste buds are different. Like, my daughter and I have had these conversations. She's got friends, and she doesn't really drink soda. But Dr. Pepper is always curious to me. Immensely popular.
Yeah.
Right? People love it. I don't,
you don't
have
like
it,
it?
Not at all. Not. But I'm sure the people who drink Dr. Pepper aren't Diet Coke people either.
No, that's probably true. And people are hardcore, whether you're Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke or Pepsi. It's just,
I'm
not that way.
I used to be that person who, when the waiter or the waitress would come up and say, because they would sometimes, yeah. Is that okay? And I'd say, no, damn it. I left. I would just stomp out.
Yeah,
no, I wouldn't do that. But I would maybe
you're a
have
charmer.
Water. But I've said this before. I don't know. There's something about Diet Pepsi on the fountain that I'm okay with.
Oh, that's interesting.
Diet Coke in the can, Diet Pepsi on the fountain. Huh. There you go.
Now I'm strictly, I had been strictly a regular Coke.
Uh-huh.
As my wife calls it, fat Coke.
Well, oh
right.
Dear.
But
well, she
Coke
might
Zero,
be right.
Coke Zero is pretty good, though.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm, of course, water. Yeah. I'm a thrill a minute over here.
You're the smart one, though. I mean, I do envy that.
But
the acid that I'm putting in my body on a daily basis and the brain tumor that must be growing, Sue,
oh, that's
you're better
great.
Off than I am.
Here's what I think. If it's really cold, you can drink anything. Anything is better if it's really cold.
I agree with you.
Thank
100%.
You.
100%. If I'm drinking water, there's got to be ice in there.
Yes.
1,000 times better.
It just makes it better. If you could do that, then you're halfway there. And on this day in history, the boys brought this up. Mark found it because 25 years ago, this is so cool, in 1999, Fernando Tatis hit 2 grand slams in 1 inning.
Fred, you remember this?
I do. It was a Friday night, and the Cardinals were out in L.A.
Yes.
Legendary.
Fastball to Tatis with the bases loaded, no one out. He kicks and delivers. Fastball, and it's a grand slam. Woo! We see who powered that one. A grand slam home run, and the Cardinals lead it 4-2. And the pitch. The runners go 3-2 to T. Swing and a long one. There it is, folks. Baseball history. A second grand slam home run for Fernando Tatis
in the third inning in Los Angeles, California, and the Cardinals lead it 11-2.
So that it's good to hear Mike, by the way, on a call like
it
that.
Is.
Joe Buck was doing the game with him that night because I heard Joe's voice on some of the clips that we were pulling.
And that was an 11-run inning.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty amazing.
Now, we double-checked. He's still the only one to have done that ever in Major League Baseball.
Ever?
Yeah, his son is a huge star now on the San Diego Padres, but that was certainly a very unique situation. It was producer emeritus David Klein that shared that with me.
David Klein.
He also shared with me the scene from Billy Madison when Chris Farley is driving the bus and said, "Live look at you as a school bus driver," and he's not wrong about that.
Oh, he knows you.
Yes,
he definitely does. Well, you know that fast rail system idea that folks have been tossing around for years about St. Louis to Chicago or, you know, Kansas City to St. Louis, and it never materialized. But the one from L.A. to Las Vegas, Mark's home away from home, is happening. And it's a 218-mile stretch, and construction began yesterday. And here's something that I had not really thought about. They're trying to get this thing done by the 2028 Olympics in L.A. So it actually does make sense. It would be the first of its kind in the U.S. Essentially, it's an electric train that can go up to 200 miles per hour. It would reduce the four-hour travel time to 2. So, yeah, construction just began. We'll see how it goes. Mark,
the problem is it doesn't really, you know, you can go between the two cities. It's not going to take you anywhere after that.
Well, no. What do you mean?
Well,
there are no
back
stops along the way.
Well, there's really no stops once you get there either.
Right.
So I don't think, in other words, you're going to take the electric train from, you know, point A to point B at the end of the strip in Vegas. I guess you can take your Uber or something like that, but it's not like you have continuous, you know, you can't, if you live somewhere in Los Angeles, you're going to have to still take an Uber or something like that. And I guess people will do that.
Well, if you're flying, you have to do the same thing if you fly in, right?
Yes.
So what's your point? I'm missing it.
I think my point is you're spending how many millions and millions of dollars, and a lot of people are just going to still choose to drive because it's not as convenient as that whole thing makes
having
it
your
seem.
Car there.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, well, the crowd agreed with me, I think.
I'm not sure
that
was on your side, but okay. A tech company called Infinite Reality is paying $250 million for the Drone Racing League.
Oh, that's right. I'm in on this one.
The DRL has gotten some coverage on NBC Sports, and companies like Google Cloud and T-Mobile are sponsors. It's had events in Vegas in the arena and Lone Depot Park in Miami. So I had to look it up. What exactly is it? Is it just speed? Here's what it is. The sport of drone racing is judged by how fast pilots can navigate through a course of obstacles. And the fastest one wins. We are just... Okay.
But, yeah. I think that has a lot of potential. I really do. Just for fun.
Yeah, it would
just
be
for a fun,
fun
factor.
And they light them up with different colors, and the whole thing is crazy. But yeah, $250 million.
Are you a little surprised? We've been talking about drones for a while. I've never had one. When I've been down in Mexico, my friend John has, you know, used one over the ocean catching the whales. I think I assumed by this point, and I've got some friends that have gone through, you know, they've had some, then they use them for a little while, and then they put them away and never use them again.
Yeah.
I think I thought at this point we'd see a lot more of those things just flying around neighborhoods, and I don't see them ever.
I think there are regulations for that sort of thing, but maybe it's emerging, and maybe they, you know, there was a big deal about some company sending one up in St. Louis Hills. Remember that? It was a story about that they didn't want it there. They want their privacy.
Well,
so
sure.
Maybe that's a factor.
I'll shoot them down. They come to my backyard, Sue.
And there it is. by the way, there was a story out. This was just weird, so I thought I'd bring it up. Apparently, Tom Cruise could break dance. And he went to Victoria Beckham's closed 50th birthday party. Like, in other words, closed. They wouldn't let anybody bring a phone in. But he got down and started breakdancing, and someone started talking about it later. So, yes, that's right.
I mean, Tom Cruise can do anything.
Tom Cruise can also break dance.
I wonder if they do that a lot. I'm guessing they might at some of these big shindigs where they say, nope, your phone's not coming in, right?
Yeah, I thought that was the interesting part of the story. Sue's News brought to you by Mr. Appliance, speedy expert service. Go to MrAppliance.com. Well, we've got one for Abby today because this is about Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Sour Patch Kids were originally called Mars Men. They changed the name in the early 80s to capitalize on the popularity of Cabbage Patch Kids.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. So that's the story behind the title there. And that's it for Sue's News.
That does make sense, though. I can see how that was. That was probably a marketing, the opposite of New Coke, right? Because
yes,
I think that one worked
exactly.
out quite well for them. Thank you, Sue.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sean Spicer coming up right after 5 o'clock. I hooked up with him a little earlier this afternoon. He's fired up. He's usually fired up, but he's particularly fired up today. We'll go over a bunch of different topics, including the chaos on college campuses and the, you know, we had both of our senators here in Missouri, Josh Hawley and Senator Schmidt, vote against the Ukraine aid and Israel aid bill because I think they felt like these two things and all these things are being conflated. But we'll get with Sean and talk about that after the top of the hour. I know that he's been somewhat critical of Speaker Mike Johnson. I think Speaker Johnson mishandled this whole thing, but we'll get into that with Sean. Also, we were talking, I think, a couple of days ago about the Metrolink expansion to Mid-America Airport. That was something I wasn't as dialed into. We've talked quite a bit about the extension here in the city, but David Stokes from the Show Me Institute is going to weigh in on all of that in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day. James Varney is back with us from Real Clear Investigations, and these are always topics that are sadly near and dear to our hearts here in St. Louis because we were ground zero with Mike Brown, but he wrote about fatal police shootings, and they're not declining. And James, you offered some facts, some uncomfortable facts, as you call them. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk about Dexter Reed because you kind of led with that in your piece, and he was the guy in Chicago and all the headlines. I you know, highlighted this, James, a couple of weeks ago because you saw USA Today and all these other media sources really be alarming about how many shots were fired, et cetera.
Right.
But this was a kid who had a gun charge already, probably other things on his rap sheet, came out of the car, fired first at police, and then they lit him up. And, you know, you're going to get lit up if you fire at a cop, right? But that didn't seem to matter than much of the legacy media at the time.
No, and it seemed as if, and the reason we led with Reed is because obviously it was pretty recent, it seemed as if they were trying to establish this narrative that the police had gone off half-cocked and, you know, that they were trigger-happy. They did fire an incredible number of bullets, but then, you know, he started shooting at them and wounded a cop. And as you point out, when that kind of thing starts, it's probably going to end badly for the person who shot at the police.
Look, you could have done a fair job even in a headline if you wanted to include the it was 96 shots that they cited. Okay, that seems like a lot of, you know, gunfire,
right.
But if you watch what happened in the and I've watched the, you know, the body cams from these officers, but you could also write that headline in the sense that, you know, Dexter Reed shoots first, police respond with 96 shots. You could have communicated both truths in that, couldn't you?
You could. And of course, it was from multiple officers, right, that were on the scene. And you mentioned the videos. That's it. We talk about this in the story that they call it split second syndrome, where everybody focuses on that moment when the cop pulls the trigger. But you can see in the moments leading up to that, in the Dexter Reed case, the police are sort of increasingly nervous. They're increasingly kind of frantic. And they're saying, you know, roll down your windows. And I don't know why he's not complying with them. But that's what escalated the situation.
Right. And then the narrative becomes, well, his mom says he was just a, you know, he's just a kid that was out driving around in his new car doing nothing, right? When we find out. But that's the narrative that took hold a couple of weeks ago before some of the other facts that came out that really weren't repeated by much of the media, James.
Right. And they also, you would see in a lot of stories, you would see a photo, you mentioned his mother, you'd see a photo from his high school graduation with his mother. Well, there's a more recent photo of him, which is a mugshot. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, Mar Dexter Reed, and I'm sure his family is grieving. It's just a recent example of a case where the media tried to sort of frame a narrative that didn't really fit the facts. And
you know,
we thought we would take a deeper dive.
And we experienced that, as you know, very painfully here. Well, it'll be 10 years this summer with Mike Brown and Darren Wilson. And the gaslighting that went on in our local media, recklessly and irresponsibly, that led to numerous businesses being burned down and, you know, rioting in the streets. And they still try to compare, and as you point out, you know, a lot of this stuff with Mike Brown. But this is interesting. The math is interesting. The number of police shootings, I guess, you said was 994 the year Brown was shot. But that's going up, right?
Yeah, it's gone up incrementally. It did go down 1 year since Brown's incident of death. But it has gone up a little bit. And that was what first kind of puzzled us, because there's been so much attention paid to it since Brown. And then, of course, since George Floyd in Minneapolis. And you mentioned the body cams that you look at in the Dexter Reed case. So supposedly all these reforms have gone on and there's been this bright spotlight on it. So you would think that the numbers would go down. They haven't. Nonetheless, the story that many media outlets are portraying is still that there's these trigger-happy cops, and that they represent, some people are pushing a narrative that they represent a real threat to young African-American men. But the numbers just don't bear that out.
Yeah, we hear that from Cori Bush all the time, as you might have mentioned here in St. Louis. But what's interesting is, and I've encouraged listeners to do this, I know that you've probably done this. You go to the Washington Post, they have this database where you can see every police shooting in the country. They've done this for years. But if you really dig into it and you read the details, you'll find that there was a knife use, or there was a car used as a weapon. There's always weapons involved. I mean, the amount of times that the police shoot someone that's not armed, or they shoot someone in an inappropriate way, is minuscule. But you would get the exact opposite impression listening to Cori Bush, or listening to CNN, or listening to our St. Louis Post-Dispatch, right? The truth doesn't matter in that case, James.
I guess it doesn't. I mean, I can't speak for Cori Bush. She's not my representative, and I'm sorry to hear that about the Post-Dispatch. But it is true that a lot of outlets do push that narrative. And, it, you know, Fryer is a distinguished scholar at Harvard, and he proved in his study that there is no racial animus or systemic racism behind these shootings. And as you also pointed out, in 60% or more of the cases, the other person has a gun, like in the Dexter Reed case, or they have a knife, or they have some other weapon. And even if you talk to liberal academics who study this, professional criminologists and the like, they'll tell you that in the overwhelming majority of cases, it's completely justified what happened here and what the officers did and why they reacted the way they did. But the focus is on this small subset of cases where it's not as clear, or it might be dubious.
James Varney is here from Real Clear Investigations. Have you ever, Sue and I have both taken part in these simulations where the FBI invited us to do it here in St. Louis, where you are run through, you know, some real life scenarios, and you have to be, you're the police officer, and you have to decide, you know, whether or not to shoot. And Sue, you just did this recently. It was very revealing, right?
It's extremely revealing. And I find that, you know, even though they say, okay, here's what you have to watch for, there are so many surprising moves by these people. You just don't know what they're going to do. Are they armed? I mean, I was in a scenario where a guy grabbed a gun, even though it was fake, obviously, from the top of a doorway. He had nothing in his hands. You just cannot predict what's going to happen. And your entire job is to not let anybody get injured.
Right. I had a friend who did that in Chicago, and he told me that invariably he said, I just kept going blam, blam, blam right away.
Right.
And then suddenly
there's
a little kid there or something, you know, that you didn't see. And so obviously these are tense, split second things that are happening. And it's understandable.
Well, and
there are mistakes.
Yeah. Right. But I brought that up because in your investigation, you bring up, you know, Darren Wilson and Mike Brown and how those decisions were made very, very quickly. The other thing about the Mike Brown case is, look, you still have people in this city, let alone the country, that will say, hands up, don't shoot. They haven't read the Justice Department report. They haven't read the grand jury testimony. They haven't, you know, seen the forensic evidence where Mike Brown was charging the officer. So that got so mangled 10 years ago, and it gave life to all these other charges. And then I know you focus on this, and we've covered this, James, but man, it's the gaslighting by the reckless media that really makes all this worse. And it's certainly not improving race relations. It's gone in the opposite direction.
Well, it certainly, I don't think, contributes to helping race relations. I'll say that. And you're absolutely right that the narrative with the Michael Brown thing really has taken roots. You do have a lot of people that think that he was had his hands up and was saying, don't shoot, which isn't true. And I mean, I suppose if for the people, and I know Ferguson, like you mentioned, some business owners that there paid a heavy price for everything that happened. I suppose the Obama Justice Department should have been more vocal or forceful in announcing what they found and what the investigation showed had happened. They kind of quietly just shelved it and no charges were filed. But it's weird that people in my line of work don't recognize or acknowledge what happens, what happened there, or what happens in most of these cases. It's unfortunate that they push another narrative.
One of the things you also address, I'll kind of close with this, and we did have some reforms that we have Senator Schmidt, who's in Washington right now, who was a legislator, he was the state senator at the time, became attorney general, but introduced some things that really did make some changes when it came to police reform. But your report here is that, you know, adaptations to some things that might be able to make a difference really haven't happened. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, apparently, and then this surprised us, because as I said, we kind of expected to see the number go down. A lot of these reforms that they talk about haven't taken root, and there's a couple of reasons for it. I mean, one is it can be funding, right, and manpower shortages. There was a defund the police movement for the last 4 or 5 years in some areas, and you have a lot of departments that are shorthanded, and that's one consequence of not being able to get the training or the money that you need for the training. Another one that the Chuck Wexler told us about with the police executive, I'm going to get this wrong, Reform Council, I think it is. And he said that the philosophy, like this ingrained philosophy among cops, is get home safe. Like that's how you start your beat. That's how you start your shift. That's the idea. It's like the old Hill Street Blues. Let's all get home safe today, right, or whatever that guy
was. Great show, by the way. Nice reference.
Yeah. And he said that it really should change to everybody gets home alive. And then I like this. He said arrested and in custody, but alive. And so some departments, a handful, have been, I guess, embracing that. PERF does offer it for free, the training. I think it's in Decatur, Illinois. The cops just have to get there. But obviously that's, again, you know, out-of-pocket expense or funding, whatever. So those reforms just have not been as widespread as some people think, is what we found out.
Well, great stuff in the investigation, James. Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk and talking about it here this afternoon. Obviously, you know, we're approaching that 10-year anniversary. It's going to be something that's talked about this summer probably quite a bit. Have a great week, James Varney.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Sean Spicer coming up after 5 o'clock. I want to squeeze in a couple of pieces of audio that are random here this afternoon, but I thought interesting. Sue Thomas.
I'm ready.
Remember hearing about, we talked about this at the time. I'm guessing you didn't watch it. You had to have, I think, paid for it on the Daily Wire's website. But they did this movie, which was mocking some of the trans stuff, called Lady Ballers last year. Do you remember hearing about that?
I do not.
We talked about it just a little bit. But anyway, there was a guy in it named Tyler Fisher. He's a comedian. I think he's a little bit more of a conservative-oriented comedian. But he, and I'm not even sure when this happened, but this was circulating today on social media, where he was on Dr. Phil's show and talking about how when he was speaking with his agent, the agent basically said, look, a straight white comedian, they're not really giving gigs to those people right now. But listen, because he actually recorded his agent. He brought the goods. He brought the receipts.
Comedian Tyler Fisher claims he has been turned down by three agencies because they said they just weren't looking for white men.
Do you think it was justified for me to be told we can't represent you? You don't have the chance to now compete for jobs because you're white.
So that's Tyler there. You heard Dr. Phil. I'm not exactly sure who this person is, but they have another guest who's African-American who responds to that.
Yes or no? Was that okay or was that not okay?
I think that what is described
by you. Don't give me your little
let me
bubble
finish.
Wrap.
What is described by you, someone telling you that you can't get that job because you're white, does not sound right to me.
Well,
it's
let's
also
hear what was
illegal,
actually
right?
said. He's thought he's
right.
making this
but
up.
Let me say this.
He recorded the call with an agent. He claims turned him down for being white. So let's listen to the call.
Is it a policy, like, explicit that they're not taking on any, like, white men, or is it, like, case by case?
On-camera talent, stand-up, probably not. No.
Okay, so no white men are allowed for on-camera stuff.
I guess it's right now where it stands, but, like, yeah, it could change in a year depending on if casting directors, that's not their feedback anymore, or not even casting directors. Studios, whatever it may be, where it's like, this is what we're looking for.
What do we do about heart surgeons, airplane pilots? Like, how far do we want to go with this? Do you want the best heart surgeon, or do you want somebody who you think may have had it bad as a kid, or maybe their great-great-grandfather? I mean, this is... it's ridiculous.
Well, you just heard a minute and 30 seconds of what DEI is all about. And his questions, Tyler Fisher's questions there at the end, are actually on point, because that's exactly what's happening at UCLA and some of these other medical schools, right? Yale and Harvard and Columbia University. And it's outrageous. And that's, I guess, we've decided as a nation, even though the majority of people in this country think it's ridiculous, but we've still made the decision that correcting past wrongs, even though they have been corrected, is more important than good health or having a good doctor or someone that's really, experienced in what they do. If you're anti-racist, that's all that matters. Second piece of random audio. I told Fred about this yesterday, Sue, and I'm not sure you're going to have as much interest in this as some people who are big baseball fans, but I just find it interesting because I think I played this to you yesterday. This was a mic'd up moment from a Yankees-Oakland Athletics game. The Yankees end up losing 2-0, but Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees. You can hear there was a legendary umpire, Harry Wendelstedt, who, okay, when I was a kid, was an umpire. And Hunter is his son, and Hunter is now big and fat like his dad was when he was an umpire. I like fat umpires, though. I'm not discriminating. But this is what happened during the game yesterday with Aaron Boone and the umpire.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch.
So there was a player. It looked like the ball actually did hit the player on the foot, the Oakland A's player on the foot. So there was some, discussion about that.
You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, we're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one.
So what happens now is the broadcast crew is talking about this. The camera never leaves Aaron Boone in the dugout. And he doesn't say anything, but the umpire thinks he does.
Very clear. There you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
Then it gets fun.
Saying, hold on a second, I didn't say a word.
Oh, yeah, there's some F-bombs.
I did not say any words. It was a word.
Now, you can't hear exactly what he says, but Hunter Wendelstedt actually says, Aaron Boone says, I didn't say a word. And the camera never leaves him. He didn't say a word.
So you see that he doesn't say a word.
It was somebody behind him. He's pointing to a fan over the dugout. But the greatest part about that story, and I don't know, I don't really know how much this played into the final score of the game, but Hunter Wendelstedt says, I don't care who said it. You're still gone. Wait a second.
What sense does that
talk about a power trip for an umpire? See, there should be something, and that's pretty significant, getting kicked out of a game, especially because I think it happened early. But they use instant replay for all sorts of things. Shouldn't, when the camera is basically stationary on Aaron Boone in the dugout,
yes,
and it's crystal clear that he didn't say anything, that they shouldn't go to the videotape and say, okay, maybe we should take a look at that, but they didn't want any of that.
That's crazy.
I will say this, Sue, and you're old enough to remember this too. I miss the days of Billy Martin going after those umpires, kicking dirt and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those were the moments.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.